Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Openly weeping at the HW funeral. Were you? I was openly sobbing at my kitchen counter today watching that funeral.
I had a lump in my throat a couple of times. I mean, it was poignant. It was powerful. I thought it was touching.
Wow.
I mean, what can you say about George H.W. Bush, and every president faces adversity, crises. I remember when he was president and some of the stuff he faced, Jor. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything from Tiananmen Square, mm-hmm. we held our breath. Mm. The fall of the Berlin Wall, we held our breath. The dissolution of the Soviet Union, Operation Desert Storm, you know, the first war in Iraq. So there were a lot of oh, my God, moments.
Major, and, major world events during his four short years in office. And, of course, when somebody dies, like we should, we memorialize them and all of their greatness, and we should only remember the good things. But, my goodness, if I did not feel the emotion and the weight of the people in the room. Of course, I kept side-eyeing the front row, all the current president and the former presidents, and watching the awkwardness as they sat together. And then looking and listening, of course, for the beautiful moments. I loved when the priest spoke. They were good friends. He spoke of his final moments there with friends rubbing his feet as he lay dying. Just a beautiful, beautiful moments. Did you listen to W's speech?
I did not hear W's speech. I know he broke down.
Can
right?
I play just a few seconds
yes,
at the end? It's
please.
So moving. Yes, here is George W. Bush eulogizing his father.
What do we want the men and women who work with us to say when we are no longer there? That we were more driven to succeed than anyone around us? Or that we stopped to ask if a sick child had gotten better and stayed a moment there to trade a word of friendship? Well, Dad, we're going to remember you for exactly that and much more. And we're going to miss you. Your decency, sincerity, and kind soul will stay with us forever. So through our tears, let us know the blessings of knowing and loving you, a great and noble man, the best father a son or daughter could have. And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again.
I lost it, too. I don't even know how we got through the words.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And those wow. two, you know, despite all of the gossip and the innuendo, which is Washington, D.C., and political second-guessing, they were very, very close. Mm-hmm. I think his father meant the world mm-hmm. to George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. Alan Simpson, former senator from the great state of Wyoming, a Republican. He said, those who travel the high road of humility in Washington are not bothered by heavy traffic. He, meaning George H.W. Bush, never hated anyone. Hatred corrodes the container that it's carried in.
I like that. That
was poignant.
He spoke. Dan put in some sound from him. Here we go. Senator Alan Simpson.
And he said, why don't we go up to Camp David? You and Ann come over and we'll have a weekend together. At that time, his popularity rating was 93%. Mine was 0.93%. And so off we went. The media, of course, all gathered as we headed to Marine One. And George said, now wave to your pals over there in the media, Al. And they didn't wave back.
I could laugh about it now.
A moment of levity, much needed levity.
See, the media is tough on all members of Congress and presidency, on all members of politics.
Absolutely.
Dan says we should play story number two from Alan Simpson as well. So let's continue here with the senators eulogizing President H.W. Bush.
And later we're having a sauna. And I said, George, I am not unmindful as to what you are doing. You are propping up your old wounded duck Powell. While you're at the top of your game, you reach out to me while I'm tangled in rich controversy and taking my lumps, and he said, yep. There were staff members, Al, who told me not to do this. But Al, this is about friendship and loyalty. Sound familiar?
Dan knew that was going to make me cry.
Man.
That's right.
One of the biographers of George Herbert Walker Bush, a gentleman by the name of John Meacham, described Bush as a man who questioned his life's purpose after he was spared death when his plane was shot down, but who ultimately became president and governed with the same virtues as George Washington, John Adams, Teddy Roosevelt, and FDR.
He also compared him today in his eulogy to Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln's better angels of our nature and George H.W. Bush's thousand points of light are companion verses in America's national hymn. For Lincoln and Bush both called on us to choose the right over the convenient, to hope rather than to fear, and to heed not our worst impulses, but our best instincts.
That's pretty good advice today. Then and now.
That's pretty timeless.
Yes.
Did you read some of the handwritten letters that President Bush wrote from Minnesota when he was here back in 1942? Not going to read any of the letters, but encourage you to go to Star Tribune.
Do you have any clips from the letters? Because Dan Cook mentioned there was something about some loose women in Minnesota.
Well, I don't know about loose women.
Oh, beautiful women maybe in Minnesota?
He made reference to Barbara. He made reference to the woman he would marry.
Oh, okay.
So like all young people, I don't know. He probably had his moments. Right?
He's entitled.
He wasn't married, you know, dating.
I mean, absolutely. And I do recall that he told his mama that it was very cold here in Minnesota.
It was very cold.
Yeah, he's right.
He was 18, and he was a Navy cadet flying at World Chamberlain Field here in Minneapolis. He was here for 4 months in an open cockpit biplane.
God bless him.
During a Minnesota winter.
What were we thinking stationing them here?
And he didn't complain, but he said, I now have a face mask. Flying is much more comfortable. My nose and lips were frozen, all red and puffed up. Some fellows have their faces all peeling. So, yeah.
Really? We couldn't have given them, you know, some North Face gear? We didn't have anything to give them to help them out?
He wrote his mom requesting more underwear, a scarf, and better goggles to deal with a cold. So that may have been his memory of Minnesota.
Same
Too bad
goggles.
He wasn't out here in July.
I know.
But there is a Minnesota connection. And there's some interesting stuff. Yeah, go to the Star Tribune and check out some of those handwritten letters.
Yeah, it was a moving day, George H.W. Bush's funeral. And I'm glad we all got to see it. It's amazing what we do for our presidents, that the pomp and circumstance took over the news media channels. But I'm so glad that it did. And I got to listen, and I got, you know, listen on the radio, and I got to watch when I could. It was a very moving experience.
I don't know if you could call George H.W. Bush an environmentalist, whether he would accept that mantle. I think some would argue that he was a conservationist. He made the point that you can have a market economy and still take care of our home at the same time. He signed the Clean Air Act of 1990, which tightened air pollution standards and reduced urban smog. He was out front when it came to acid rain. He helped to pass legislation.
Gosh, remember acid rain?
Remember acid rain?
Yeah, acid
we don't hear about that
is
anymore.
Is that why we had acid wash jeans in the 80s? Because of acid rain? Maybe.
No. He also created the U.S. Global Change Research Program, which produced expert reports on how climate change is affecting the United States. In 1992, Jor, he signed the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change that created a process for countries to work together to understand and respond to climate change. So he was not a climate change skeptic. I think he accepted the science. He had a respect for scientists. They certainly have a place.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what 41 would say about what is going on in Wisconsin. The Senate passing a bill that limits the governor's powers. We're going to be talking about that, governor and the attorney general's powers. We're going to be talking about that at 3:35. We'll tell you a little bit about the story in just a moment. But before we go to the break, let's end with just a little more sound from John Meacham. It's a fun story about he and H.W. number 41 on the campaign trail.
Okay.
On the primary campaign trail in New Hampshire once, he grabbed the hand of a department store mannequin asking for votes. When he realized his mistake, he said, "Never know, gotta ask." You can hear the voice, can't you? As Dana Carvey said, the key to a Bush 41 impersonation is Mr. Rogers trying to be John Wayne.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Jordana and Paul. Dan Cook at the helm. Thank you for remembering George H.W. with us. Hope you listened to it on the radio this morning. This person's upset. Why did all the stations need to carry it? I missed The Price is Right. I'm sorry. I, too, love The Price is Right. Someday I want to come on down, but you'll watch it again tomorrow.
It'll be back tomorrow.
It'll be back tomorrow. It happens.
All right. Whatever.
This next segment really has me up in arms. What is going on in Wisconsin, folks? And we have listeners in Wisconsin, so you need to call in and tell us why the Wisconsin Senate just passed a bill limiting the powers of your incoming governor and incoming attorney general.
Because they can.
Okay, that's not a good reason.
It's an axiom, right? Those with power exercise it the most, right? I know it's lame duck and all of that, but are you really surprised?
Well, I'm not surprised, but I do think that it is a misuse of dirty politics. It's legal. Well, it will be appealed.
We'll see. The courts right. will determine whether it was legal. It's ultimately going to wind up being in the hands of the courts.
Because this has been tried in North Carolina and in Michigan, and I still believe it's in the courts over there to see if it truly is legal. And what Paul and I are talking about is the Wisconsin Senate passed a bill that would weaken the new governor coming in, if you're having a new Democratic governor, Scott Walker is out, would weaken the governor's ability to put in place rules that enact laws and shield the state's job agency from his control until September. It also limits early voting to no more than 2 weeks before an election. By the way, a federal judge already ruled that restriction was unconstitutional, but this would do the same thing. The bill, because it passed this morning, also weakens the attorney general's office by requiring a legislative committee, rather than the attorney general himself, the guy who usually makes the rules, to sign off on withdrawing from federal lawsuits. Now, this is, of course, because Wisconsin has a multi-state lawsuit. They're part of a lawsuit to repeal the Affordable Care Act. So now they're saying the attorney general can't do that on his own. They need a legislative committee to allow him to sign off on that.
Connect the dots, Jordina. Gosh.
And this only happened because they now have, well, my opinion is this only happened because they have a Democratic governor and attorney general coming in over a decade in Wisconsin.
There's a reason why this may be happening in Michigan and Wisconsin. The president won Wisconsin by 22,748 votes in 2016. President Trump won in Michigan by 10,704 votes. Some people, maybe they're conspiracy theorists, believe that this is an attempt to make the bed to prepare things for the 2020 election. That maybe if it comes down to these states again.
By restricting early voting,
yeah,
making it harder.
Exactly.
Well, I think this is a travesty of justice here. And if, as Republicans say, they're just trying to balance the power, why didn't they do this in the last 10 years when they had a Republican governor in power?
This is the right first.
They're so worried about the balance of power.
First divided government in 10 years for Wisconsin. So
the question becomes, is this a good move by Republican senators, or is it going to come to bite them in the behind at some point when the tide does turn? And even in the court of public opinion, the people who voted in those Republican senators might say, you know what? We see through this. We think this is wrong. We don't want to restrict voting rights to some people. We think this, among the other things in the bill.
How does the public, how do citizens of Wisconsin benefit from this?
Okay, if you live in Wisconsin, or if you know anybody from Wisconsin, which is all of you, we want to know your thoughts on this. Is it going to come to bite them in the butt, or is this a great idea? And absolutely, it should have been done sooner. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Let's talk about what the heck is going on in Wisconsin after the break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jor and Paul, welcome back. Talking about what's going on in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Senate voted early today around 4 a.m. to pass a sweeping measure designed to empower the GOP-controlled legislature and weaken the Democrat replacing Republican Governor Scott Walker.
Really? Wisconsin? Really?
Yeah, the Republicans came up with a package of lame duck bills to protect their priorities and make it harder for Governor-elect Evers to enact his. So again, legal, not legal, probably wind up in the courts again.
It's probably legal, but it will be challenged. But what do you think about this? Is this a good idea for Republicans? Is it going to come bite them in the butt when it's time? Because it, I call it dirty politics. I understand it's probably legal, but boy, this sounds like a really underhanded way to cut off the new governor, which they haven't had a Democratic governor in 10 years, and the attorney general at the knees. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Dirty politics or great idea, Wisconsin?
But if it's dirty, don't you think a significant groundswell of citizens in Wisconsin will vote them out, the people that enacted this?
Let's hear about it today.
Maybe not.
You're going to vote them out? 651-989-9226. I know you're listening in Wisconsin. Is this a great idea? Do you love it? Or is this horrible? Jerry's been holding on the line in his car. Hey, Jerry, what do you think about all this?
Well, I just was wondering what you think is the difference between the obstruct and resist by any means necessary that the Democrats have been doing to the Trump administration ever since they came into office. Is that considered dirty politics, or should that be something? I don't see the difference.
Of course it's dirty politics. If you go and say obstruct and resist at all means possible and we're never going to work with you, absolutely that's dirty politics. There is no difference, Jerry. So what do you think should happen in Wisconsin? Do you think it's a great idea by the Wisconsin Senate, or do you think they're going to get voted out?
I'm thinking that that's just the way it is. I mean, they were in the position that they were able to do that, and they got enough votes to do it. And it's like they got to suffer the consequences of it maybe down the road.
So in this case, maybe the ends justify the means?
Possibly.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for calling
Thanks
in,
for
Jerry.
Thanks for calling, Jerry. Shirley, what do you think, Shirley? And Shirley, do you live in Wisconsin or do you live in Minnesota?
I live in Minnesota, and I think what's going on in Wisconsin is very sickening. Just because they're a Democrat, again, you guys have talked about both sides working together.
Sure.
And this just shows that one side is not willing to work. They just proved it by what they did today.
And that says something to their constituents, that we are, you know, we'll do whatever we can to hold on to power, and we're not willing to work with you. Shirley, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Exactly. And thank you, you guys. Have a great day. I love the show.
Thanks, Shirley.
Thank you, Shirley. And again, Wisconsin is a bright red state, right? I mean, with the exception of, as Dan Cook pointed out, little pockets of blue around Madison and Milwaukee. Otherwise, the state very heavily leans GOP. And there's been a lot of talk of the gerrymandering.
The gerrymandering. Right. Oh, someone sent in a... Someone sent in an interesting text about that. By the way, our phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. There you go. Read that one, Paul.
Yeah. A texter says the GOP has gerrymandered the state to the extreme. If you check the vote totals, you'll see how bad it is. Hundreds of thousands more Democrats vote, but packed into small districts. So the GOP has a vast majority in the House and the Senate.
All right.
One of the texters wrote, would Democrats do the same thing?
Would they? I don't know. Would they? In Michigan and Wisconsin, it has been the opposite way. It has been when a Democrat has been voted in, then the Republican Senate made this happen. So would they? You tell me. History does not show it that way. But then, of course, you have Jerry calling in saying, well, the Democrats are obstructing the Trump administration. But what the Democrats in the Senate have done, they haven't passed a law to cut off the president at the knees. What happened in Wisconsin was they used their lame duck power, power they still had, to pass a law to restrict the powers of the incoming Democratic governor and the attorney general. Me, I think Jordana here, just talk show host here, think that is such an abuse of power. And maybe that law should needs to change now.
You don't think it passes the smell test?
That smells yucky to me. Larry's in Mankato. Larry, jump on in here.
Hi, Jordana. Thanks for taking my call. It's just become rule of the politicians, by the politicians, for the politicians. I mean, if you remember 2009, there was a Democratic majority in the House and Senate, and the majority of Americans did not want Obamacare. And then you had Harry Reid, and he came up with the nuclear option, which now is coming back to bite the Democrats in the posterior.
Yep, yep, yep.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's who cares what you and I want anymore? I got elected. I'm going to do what I want.
And that drives me nuts, Larry, because constantly we hear on this show and on others that we are the middle of the bell curve. Larry, Paul, Dan, Jordana, we're the middle of the bell curve. Why are they not listening?
Shouldn't the priority be what's best for the citizens? What's best for my constituents versus what is going to keep me in power or my party in power? Aren't they there to
absolutely
make our lives
but, you
better?
Know, I remember when you had to go to vote on election day.
That's true.
And now there's states where you can vote for virtually months. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's to me, that's kind of ridiculous.
But that gets more people voting. The whole point of that was to, you know, get people who are disabled or out of the state or, you know, traveling abroad or whatever to get them to vote. I see both sides of that. But I hear you, Larry. I hear you. And I'm glad you got in.
Thanks,
thank you, Larry.
Larry.
Thanks for the call. But, you know, Wisconsin or Minnesota, whoever, do you think this is a great idea or is this politics at its worst?
This is slash and burn politics.
Mike's on the line. Hey, Mike, thanks for waiting.
Hey, hi. How are you all doing today?
Well,
good. Hey, Mike.
Hey, listen, I think this is a horrible idea. It's politics at its worst. Don't smell it. Smells bad. You know. Listen, this is, Wisconsin is the fourth state to decide to do something like this, give more power to the legislature than to the governor. It's an overreach. It's a power grab. This is some of the problem with career politicians, you know, making it a career instead of an avocation.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Mike doesn't like the smell. I'm with you, Mike.
No.
Smells bad.
Thank you, Mike.
And you know what? I hope thanks. Wisconsinites will not just hold their nose and bear it. Wisconsinites need to take action. And people, all people need to know that this exists, that it happens. It's happening in North Carolina. It's happening in Michigan. And now it's happening in Wisconsin. I'm upset about it.
Do we have time to
take Jim in St. Paul? Hey, Jim, jump on in here, sir.
Yeah, I just was going to say, I don't think the courts are going to allow this. I really don't.
I hope not. I hope not. I really don't. I hope not. It has been challenged in other areas. We know that the restriction of limiting early voting was ruled unconstitutional by a federal judge, and that is one of the parts of this bill that was passed. So at least maybe that part will be ruled unconstitutional and overturned.
Well, that's good, and you have a wonderful show.
You're nice, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. But again, in the process, I mean, that could take months. It could take years.
Mm-hmm.
Bumping it up to the courts until this thing is heard.
Right.
And in the meantime, what are you going to have? Paralysis in Wisconsin. What's going to get done for the people?
People of Wisconsin, rise up.
Hey,
I want to know what you think.
We need to ask Governor-elect Tim Walz about this. He is on live with us at 4:10. Mm-hmm. Stick around for that. We want to get your questions, too, for the governor-elect. I'm curious what he makes of what's happening across the border.
But let's try to sneak in one or two more calls on this before the top of the hour. Quick break, and we'll be right back with Martin's call.
Jor, it's 3:47. Wicks and Jewelers time. Explore an extensive collection of hand-selected diamonds, rare gemstones, and the finest Swiss timepieces at Wicks and Jewelers in Bloomington. Is it a power play or is it just to be expected? Those with power, political power, exercise that power while they can. In Wisconsin, in the middle of the night, the lame duck state senate passed by 17-16 a bill weakening the powers of the incoming Governor Evers and the Attorney General before Democrats can take office.
Martin is in Howard Lake waiting on the line to jump in. Thanks for waiting, Martin.
Sure. Yes. I'm not real familiar with all the issues, but the question that comes to my mind is, why do these governors have all this legislative power anyway?
I don't know that the governor has too much power. I think the Republican Congress just wanted to hamper anything he did have.
Well, if you think of presidential executive orders. Started originally with Johnson in Vietnam, and then it just grew out to where a president comes in. He can sign executive orders, overrides Congress, and it's rules.
And there are probably good reasons for these powers?
Well, no, there aren't. It wasn't set up that way. The one reason it was done in Vietnam was, I'd have to go back again and review it, but it was like urgency to be able to take action.
Martin, why do you think senators in Wisconsin didn't do this when Scott Walker was in power or a Republican governor was in power?
They didn't have to.
It's politics.
That's the answer.
That's the world we live in.
You're right. Thank you,
He's
Martin.
He's right. Let's try to sneak in Todd. Hey, Todd, we got about a minute for you here.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I was just wanted to bring up, I'm against what they did in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Oh, no. Okay, there
Hello?
He is. Yes,
yep,
yes.
Now you're back.
Okay. But on the other.
Oh, shoot. Todd, I'm sorry. The phone was not working in your favor.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. I'm so sorry that we are out of town, but we're out of time. We're not out of town.
We're out of town,
we're
too.
We're out of time, but we are very much looking forward to Governor-elect Tim Walz joining us in just a few minutes.
I wonder if the governor-elect can talk candidly. Just pretend we're not on the air.
Okay,
and tell
us
what he really thinks about what's going on with Wisconsin, with possibly legalizing marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Gas tax? Are we going to have a state budget surplus, or is that fake news? A lot of questions.
He's just back from a listening tour.
Yes.
I'm dying to know what he heard.
Imagine a politician that listens. Interesting.
Well, lots of our questions and many of yours when we return here with Governor Tim Walz on CCO Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.